ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Matthew chapter 18. I'd like to teach on this subject this morning, and I am trusting God to use this to bless you and then to help you move into your next level of spiritual growth and walk with God. Matthew chapter 18, it's a long reading, verses 21 to 35. I title this Forgive. But the way I titled it is F-O-R-E, then dash, give. So something that you give in advance. It's a very important topic that is crucial to our life as believers. One of the things that, when I started the series, I mentioned two areas we need to pay close attention to as believers in Christ. I said our love walk and then our faith walk. Faith walk and love walk. And the reason why I ask that we should pay close attention, the more you grow into Christ, the more you are faced with temptation to be offended. And if you don't master it, it affects every other area of your life. It affects your relationship. Sometimes it affects your health. Doctors will tell us that there are certain illnesses that are called psychosomatic illnesses. It means there are sicknesses that is as a result of imbalance in our emotions, which may be as a result of offense, as a result of guilt, as a result of condemnation. People's body just produce things in an extra proportion that it begins to affect their health. Sometimes high blood pressure, sometimes cancer, sometimes migraine headache. So it's very crucial that we need to pay close attention to this area. And it's also very crucial because the more you become a Christian, the tendency that your circle of friendship will also change, it's high. So you find out that the people who will offend you the most are the people closest to you. So if they are not your family members, they will be your brothers and sisters whom you share the community of faith with. For your faith to walk, it has to be by love. Galatians 5:6. It has to be by love. By love. By love. He said faith, for example, in Hebrews 11, is the substance. It gives credence to the things that we hope for, the evidence of things that are not seen. That's faith. The evidence, the substance. You have the framework. So when you walk with God, the tendency to be offended is high. As a person in ministry, I know pastors. In fact, there is a pastor that lost his life, I think sometimes last year. He got offended. People betrayed him. And so many people left that church. And so he became offended. It was just a question. And he developed this disease. I don't know how to mention it, but if you come around him, there is a whole lot of anxiety and all that. He died between 8 to 10 months when they had crisis in that church. And the irony of it is that his own wife died 2 months after he died. So, offense, it's not something I want us to literally. So sometimes it's between family members, a child to their father, or among the children in the family. Sometimes it's from colleagues, among neighbors. I think I've shared this story here before, how someone lost the opportunity to marry another person, just basically because of offense. They lived in a very particular community where, you know, this newly formed community, and you know when people are forming that community, usually you are the NEPA, you are the Water Corporation, you are the... So he lived with, our own parents. They were the first to move into that neighborhood. And so they built their house. So as people come, they more like they pay homage to them. So there was like a neighbor who came who wanted to do something different. He wanted to take his source of power from another place. And so he just needed to erect a pole. And so our own parents refused. That is where their future land or something. It was a very flimsy thing. And so all through our growing up here, they don't relate with that family because the family invariably moved into that neighborhood. So there came a time that the lady, the cousin of that family, the other family, found this lady while they were in the university. And then proposed to her and all that. So when she took him home, and they just asked, so what is your name? And mentioned that name. The man just said, are you related to? And he said, that is my uncle. He said, no, you are not marrying my daughter. This story that I'm sharing, the lady is still single today. But you can see how little things can provoke maybe darkness, I would say, and then can cover up supposed opportunity. Of course, the guy went and married someone else. I mean, that's how life is. So, forgive. And so, as Christian, we are faced and prone with that temptation. Sometimes it's as a result of heartbreaks in relationship or heartbreaks in partnership. So, we are confronted with this issue. But I'm trusting today that God's wisdom will come to us. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. It's a long reading. I read to verse 35. Matthew 18, he said, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I will forgive him? Up to 7 times? So Jesus wasn't even establishing the rule that 7 times. It was Peter who says, okay, let me stretch this issue. How can I stretch it? So 7 times. But look at what Jesus said to him. He said, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but actually what I meant is 70 times 7. That's how much? 490 times. Let's even assume that was what Jesus meant. But as we preach, you will understand that wasn't what he meant. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, please, I want you to please take note of it. The kingdom of heaven, it means the culture of heaven, this is how it works. It's like a certain king who wanted to settle account with his servants. Please read for me. Who is on that console? And when he had begun to settle the account, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents, you may not understand it. If you read in recent translation, it says $1 billion. So, 10,000 talents, as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife, can you see? And children, and all that he had. And that payment, until that payment is made. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all. I wonder how he will pay if he has not paid all to that time. Because before the master took him into that kind of thing, he must have warned him several times. He must have met him. I say, Oga, it is end of the month. So January must have turned to June. June must have even turned to, because he was a servant, so he probably have been saying it every day. I'm just giving you a reminder, or send an SMS, send an email to remind him. But the master of the servant was moved with what? Compassion. Released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Recent translation says $10,000. So he held the man by his tie. I hope you are comfortable. Eh? So he held the man, he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. So $1 billion to $10,000. And lay hands on him and took him by the throat and say, pay me. He didn't even give him any concession. Pay me all that you owe me. Verse 29. So his fellow servant fell down the same way and begged him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay you all. Verse 30. And he would not. So he probably dragged him with his tie. Went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. But I want to point something out to you, because you even I'm not saying owing is good, but you will agree with me that even in the law, if you are owing and they put you in prison, they are just how will you walk to pay the money that you are owing back? It doesn't just make sense. It doesn't work that way. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that has been done. Then his master, after he had called, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers. One translation says tormentors, until he should pay all that was due to him. Verse 35, he says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from your heart does not forgive your brothers. What is forgiveness? Let me just start from this perspective. That's the kingdom of heaven perspective. Forgiveness is showing mercy to others who don't merit such, just like us. Forgiveness is showing mercy to others who don't merit such, just like you and I don't merit mercy. In Luke chapter 11, verse 4, Jesus, when he was giving us that prayer guide, he said, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Forgive our sins. So forgiveness is showing mercy. Mercy simply means what is supposed to be due to you, it's averted. Judgment is supposed to come, but God showed you compassion. That was what happened in that story. Second definition, forgiveness is a kingdom advancement commandment. Is not an advice. Forgiveness is a kingdom advancement commandment. I deliberately use those words. It's a kingdom. So, out there in the world, like the experience Jesus had with those Pharisees, they said, Jesus, we always say things, it has been said unto you, a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. I mean, this morning we were having a discussion at home. You know, sometimes I think someone was killed yesterday at Ibadan. So sometimes you say to yourself, The way this you hear this story is like Nigeria has become another jungle where lion heat up lions. I have an insight into the story. I won't say it now because I don't know who knows the person. But hey, it's also a question of greed. So, out there, it is you hit me, I hit you. It is, if you want to block my way, I take you out. But he says, here, we forgive because he has forgiven us. So forgiveness is kingdom advancement commandment. It's not an advisory. I'm not, you know, if I say, make sure you wake up at 6 and have your bath, it's an advice. But if I say to you, you must have your bath at 6 because we are going somewhere at 6. That's no more an advice. You can't sleep till 6:15 because I will drop you off. But the command, it's a command that we are going somewhere at 6. So it's different from advice. Advice is subject to discussion. And when people treat this issue of forgiveness, the common language that you hear from people, you don't know what he has done or what she has done. So, forgiveness is a kingdom advancement commandment. It's actually a kind of responsibility. So, I forgive not because of you. If you see it that way, it's responsibility. And 1 Corinthians 4:2, it said, moreover, it is required in stewardship. We are stewards of God. In our world, there is hatred. In our world, there is competition. In our world, everybody wants to take people out. But we are here as light of the world. So we have a responsibility of stewardship to know that where there is hatred, our responsibility is to sow love. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So, third definition, forgiveness is a debt. Forgiveness is a debit or gift paid to others in advance so you can maintain a credit status. Forgiveness is a debit. Bankers, accountants, we all understand that more. Forgiveness is a debit or gift paid to others in advance to maintain a credit status. So it has nothing to do with what is happening at the moment in your relationship with people or how sour the relationship has been. It is something for my own sake, for my own safety, for my own health. So I make up my mind. It's not when the event happened. I make up my mind in advance that peradventure, something goes wrong between myself and Dr. Kuti. This is my reaction to such things. And you see, all of those things, you can't do it in your own flesh. That's why it has to be by the help of the Holy Spirit. Especially the way this forgiveness is tied for so many people is when you find out that you are not the one at fault. I don't know if it has happened to you. People lied against you. And then you have a very strong witness not to say a single word. And you know it's very difficult, sir. And then, you know, it's like rat hitting you up and blowing. So you are turning between whether you are enjoying the hair or you are enjoying the bite. Praise God. So it's a debt, it's a debit or gift paid to others in advance to maintain a credit status. And lastly, from kingdom perspective, forgiveness is our kingdom DNA. So it is a non-negotiable virtue. If you want to go, it's our DNA. Psalm 32. I want you to please, let's read something that David put in perspective for us. Psalm 32, verses 1 to 5. Psalm 32. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Verse 3 says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. Verse 4 says, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was torn into the drought of summer. Selah, it means pausing. and think about these things. I acknowledge my sins to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to God, and you forgave all my iniquity. Let me read one of my recent discovered translation, the Passion Translation. Let me read it to you in that same, thank you, in that same verse, Psalm 32. It says, how happy, and this is how it is, how happy and fulfilled are those whose rebellion has been forgiven. Has anybody been rebellion against God here? Can I see your hand this morning? I am one number one. I don't know about you. You may be a Christian from birth. That's okay. But how happy and fulfilled are those whose rebellion has been forgiven and those whose sins are covered by the blood. How blessed, relieved are those who have confessed their corruption to God. For he wipes clean their slates. He removes hypocrisy from their hearts. Before I confessed my sins, I kept it all inside. My dishonesty devastated my inner life, causing my life to be filled with frustration, irrepressible anguish and mystery. The pain never let up, for your hand of conviction was heavy on my heart. My strength was sapped. My inner life dried up like a spiritual drought within my soul, paused in his presence. Then I finally admitted to you all my sins, refusing to hide them any longer. I said, my life-giving God, I will openly acknowledge my evil actions, and you forgive me. That is the basis of us forgiving other people. Not because other people are good, just like we ourselves, we are not good. But hey, we are, our goodness is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. As I praise the Lord. So forgiveness is our kingdom DNA. If I'm not practicing it, it's because I've not seen God. It's as simple as that. So the Greek word translated as forgive in the New Testament is the word aphim. A-P-H-I-E-M-I. And it has a wide range of meaning. A-P-H-I-E-M-I. It has meaning. It means to remit debt. It means to leave something or someone alone. It means to allow an action. It means to send away, to desert, to abandon, or divorce. The divorce here is not in context of marriage. The divorce simply means I choose peace over frustration. So I divorce myself from frustration. I choose fulfillment over hurt. So I divorce myself from hurt. I choose love over hatred, over bitterness, over taking things in and bottling it up to the point that it destroys my relationship with myself, my relationship with other people, my relationship with God. So I choose to divorce myself from those things. That's in the context that this is saying. So true forgiveness is letting go of any hurt, desire to revenge. Have you heard a Christian who says, my own kind of Christianity is not stupid? So if you slap me, I slap you back. You know, people have given interpretation to this subject of forgiveness. But I'm going to, by the grace of God, from this little study that I have done, it's an ongoing study, I believe God for wisdom to get. So to forgive means letting go of any hurt, that desire for revenge, avoid gossip about anything and everything that has to do with that event. To forgive does not mean condoning, and I need that's the balance. It doesn't mean you are condoning an abuse. To forgive means, it doesn't mean that you are exposing yourself to reproach. Ah, I'm a Christian, so you can just trample on him. Anything goes. No. To forgive me doesn't mean you are exposing yourself to unnecessary danger or constant heartbreak. But hey, kingdom way, forgiveness is intentional and it is voluntary. You choose it. I choose to be happy. So, because I choose to be happy, I choose to let go. Anything that will militate against my peace, I choose not to avoid. I have diary, but you can't find in my diary at 8 p.m. at Uncle Zuzu and so, this is what this person said. And you know, sometimes people keep such diary. People will tell you, I used to have an uncle, he's no more. When you sit with him, he will be telling you a story. And you will think that that story happened yesterday. But when he put the year to it. So, at a stage, I don't want anybody's baggage. So I avoid him and his stories. You can't plant something. I don't even know the people you are fighting over a farm. Wait. I don't know their offspring. I can't meet. So you can't plant bitterness. You can't plant resentment in my heart. And it takes a whole lot of discipline to do that. Praise God. So it is a kingdom responsibility by which we measure our spiritual maturity. How much we can let go. How much we can let go. You can let go. I say it, and I say it under God. There's no amount of money that I will fight over with anyone. It doesn't matter the amount of money involved. It does not matter. That is me. But some people don't joke with their money. And I'm not saying you should joke with your money. It's your money. But hey, what am I saying? Some people don't joke with their money. I've killed other people. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. I know the place will be quiet because it's not. And it took me 2 years to preach this message. But I'm preaching it because I know that God wants to do quite a whole lot in our nation. In our nation. I didn't say in our church. In our nation. Because we need that spirit to run through this nation so that the ethnic mess that has been created, we can see ourselves as one nation. I said this over and over again while I was growing up. I mean, the schools that we went to, nobody knows who is a Christian, who is a Muslim in that real sense. People go home, bring layer meat, even though I must not say at home that I hate it. But hey, but that was it. Abdullahi, all of them were our friends, were bunkmates. And then some people went to, when they are filling their jam form, ABU and all those, Sokoto, they just want to run away from home. And they go, and people take care of them while they are there. That was the kind of nation that we had. Someone at the polling booth yesterday was sharing the experience, how our students, they will carry themselves from ABU to drive to Jos any time of the day, any time of the night, and they will come back, they go to Jos for party, come back in the middle of the night and all that. And then he recently went to Jos, and they told him that Bauchi Road, by 7 p.m., you can't be found on that road. So, I'm trusting that all these things, we will see it. We will see it. And you know, is it not funny that it is when somebody wants to contest for an election office, that's when you now know that they are Abdurrahman. That's when you know that they are Josephine or whatever they choose to play as their name. Praise the Lord. So forgiveness is the decision to absolve all claims on the account of debt, loan, and other obligation, prioritizing your relationship above all those other things. Number one, area of relationship, your relationship with God. So you prioritize it. When you are forgiving someone, that's an area of priority. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 25. So forgiveness is not failing to see someone's action as being wrong and requiring forgiveness. It's not an excuse that the offender, that is not excusing the offender for their action or saying nothing has gone wrong. You know, sometimes you can go to the other that esteem. It's okay. Mm-mm. What is the issue? Let's talk about it so that it doesn't even repeat itself the next time. So if I'm letting go, I know what I'm letting go. If I know, does that make sense? Yes, sir. If I step on your toe and you said, are you blind? And say, I'm sorry. I can step on your toes next time, you know. But you know that you can come and say, that's how you did it. last week. That's how you did it last year. And I'm wondering, last week, last year, where did I meet you? So, hey, excuse me, you just stepped on my toes. So I will know that I stepped on your toes. And I will say, when I'm saying I'm sorry, I know what I'm saying I'm sorry for. You that I stepped on your toes, you also know when you are saying it is okay, you know what it is okay. Do you understand it? So there are extremes in this subject of forgiveness. Because I can help you think what you are thinking, isn't it? Is that not what happened in relationship? So I help you think. I've offended you. So I'm helping you to think what the offense is, what your reaction should be. So in forgiveness, there are three, in the heart of forgiveness, we are protecting three areas. Number one, our relationship with God. And what does the Bible says here? 21 to 25, please. It says, you have heard, it was said, for those of old, you shall not murder. Let me read so that I don't repeat it. Let me read from the Passion. Matthew 5. You are familiar with the commandment that the older generation was taught. Do not murder, or you will be judged. But I am telling you, if you hold anger in your heart towards a fellow believer, you are subject to judgment. And whoever demeans or insults a fellow believer is answerable to the congregation. And whoever calls down curses upon a fellow believer, I hope you are hearing these things. If you read that in maybe KJV, say, whoever say raka. You know, some of these things, because please try and read in other translations so that you can get a robust. So when you curse, and there are many ways people curse these days. People use F word a lot. People use C word a lot. You're crazy. So, the discipline in forgiveness is the discipline of the use of words. So, whoever calls down curses upon a fellow believer is in danger of being sent to a fiery hell. So then, if you are presenting a gift before the altar in the temple, and suddenly you remember a quarrel you have with a fellow believer. A fellow believer is someone who believes that there is God, Abby, who is under that covering. So leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go at once to apologize. I'm expecting that to happen after this service. I'm expecting SMS messages being sent to people. I'm expecting verba, if they are close, verba. And you know, if you can discipline yourself to do that, let me tell you what happened. The other person, because they were not expecting it, they are also remorse. They are also remorse to say, I am equally sorry. I don't know if you have done this in conversation. You know, sometimes when the heat of conversation is high, the voice, the pitch is high and all that, and someone just retreat and say, oh, I'm sorry. Do you know that the tension goes down? And then do you know that usually 99.9% the issue of contention, if when they now step back and listen, they are actually saying the same thing, but with different interpretation. Yes or no? Yeah. So, presenting a gift, lift it. Go at once, apologize. Then after you have reconciled, come to the altar and present your gift. It is always better to come to terms with the one who wants to sue you before you go to the trial. Or you may be found guilty by the judge, like we read in that story, and he will hand you over to the officers who will throw you into the prison. Believe me, you won't get out of prison until you have paid the full amount. So, number one area to protect is your relationship with God. Your relationship with God. Second area, your relationship with people. Matthew 18, verses 15 to 20.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,